It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
The Rays Radio Network proudly presents This Week in Rays Baseball. Here's your host, Neil Solons.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to our latest podcast. Obviously, the reason we're having one here on a Tuesday is that the Rays have made it official that Chris Archer has been added to the group. So on the podcast today, this will be, in essence, very much about Chris Archer's return. We will have a one-on-one with Chris. We're also going to have a segment of the Zoom that Eric Neander did with the media because I think it is relevant in terms of Chris and also the big picture. And we're going to chat with one Kyle Snyder about Chris returning and also, you know, a little bit about expectations overall for the pitching staff and what certainly is going to be a weird season. All of that coming up on the podcast. But we start with Chris Archer's return. We welcomed him back and asked him what it meant to be back.
Thank you, Neil. It means a lot, man. I have so many good memories there. My comfort levels are through the roof. There was when I was in the decision-making process, I could check that off the list, like 100%. There's no issues with how comfortable of an environment it is for me, for my family, on and off the field. There's so much familiarity. But to be with the Rays at a time like this, where they're coming off winning the division, they're coming off a really, really spectacular World Series run where they came up a little short. It's something that I'm really honored to be a part of. When the second best team in the league is calling you shortly after the World Series, thinking that you can be a piece of the puzzle to help them get over the top, it's an honor, man. It's super humbling. I have so much gratitude for the process and for where I'm at right now, given my injuries and given everything that happened in 2020. I can't wait to get in that locker room here in about a week.
Since you brought up the injuries, how's your health right now?
I'm great. I have no limitations. I've worked myself up to 45 pitch bullpen, which is a little bit heavier volume than I've had leading into any other spring training. Usually I'm at about 25 pitches, no breaking balls, but now full repertoire, 45 pitches, and then just going to kind of build my volume as spring training grows. But as far as my shoulder, my neck, and everything that I had decompressed up there, I got no issues.
How much did that also play into all this, the comfort level with the Rays training staff? Because they do have a reputation, and Kyle has a reputation, about protecting pitchers and keeping guys on the field.
Yeah, it was huge. Again, like it was on my, you know, top five priority list, you know, whenever I'm trying to decide where I was going to go. How's the training staff? And I know that these guys are elite, and I know that in order for me to do what I can and be who I can be, I got to be on the field, and I have to be at almost peak health, because trying to pitch at 75-80% health, just, it doesn't bode well for anybody. So I feel I'm in very, very good hands with Joe Binge and Mark Vinson and Paul Harker and all the staff.
So you brought up a checklist. What else was on that checklist in terms of like five things that you were looking at when you're comparing organizations, and eventually was the decision, hey, I'm coming back to the Rays?
Well, I think I want to be on a ultra competitive team in an ultra competitive division. I look at that as one and the same. I need a team that would give me straight up opportunity. I didn't want to come in and be on the bubble. I wanted to come in and have a solidified spot in the rotation. I wanted to be in a comfortable environment. I wanted to be somewhere that had a good training staff. So I'd say those are probably my top four or five. And I mean, you know, the checklist you know, is A plus all across the board there.
How much did Kyle figure into this? Kyle Snyder, the Rays pitching coach, and the staff.
Yeah, the coaching staff was very important. Again, it was part of the comfort element. You know, just like I don't want to sound too like philosophical, but you know, just like a flower that's trying to grow, it has to be in the right environment, and the soil and the water and the nutrients that it gets, the sun, all those things. I feel like the coaching staff is a part of those vital nutrients for me to grow and continue and to, I guess, reestablish my success and my dominance.
I think something that always has been appreciated about you is that you always are willing to, you're always trying to learn and always trying to grow. What did you learn in your time away from the Rays that can help you this year with the Rays?
I think me, the pitcher that I am, I don't need to overcomplicate things. My approach is pretty simple, and I need to just exploit the things that I do really, really well and repeat that and command that and harness that, as opposed to trying to get too tricky or implement a style just isn't successful for me.
So is that, from layman's terms, is that four-seam fastball slider? That was a big part of your success here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I feel like every year I've gone into spring training, the changeup has been a topic of conversation, but that's something that at least that is one thing over the last 2 years that I do feel really, really comfortable in. I don't feel like it's something that has to be developed anymore. It's just something that needs to be a tick more consistent so that, you know, hopefully I'm facing guys, you know, three times. It's something that I can show guys early and maybe save some of my other weapons for later in the game.
The fact that you came in on a one-year deal, it can be looked at very much as a positive, motivating, you know, kind of create an opportunity for yourself long-term. How do you look at it? Do you see it the same way?
I haven't really thought too far ahead. I'm looking forward to getting to spring training, getting with Kyle Snyder, getting his eyes on me, because I have made some changes to my lower body, just from like being more efficient, using more of my lower body rather than using my arm, because that led to the injury. So just being, you know, getting under his watch, getting under his guise and just harnessing everything and then getting into games and competing again. So I guess it's too much for me to think too far ahead. I just want to compete, and I want to compete with this team this year. When they roll out the balls April 1st, I'm looking forward to being out there and being part of the greatness that they've had for the last 3 years.
You mentioned you've been in touch with Kyle. What other former teammates that are now your current teammates have you been in touch with since, and what's been the chat like?
There's a lot of excitement. But the first person I called was Willie Domus. Shortly after that, I called Brent Honeywell. I've touched base with Glasnow and Meadows. Glasnow actually reached out to me, which is rare. I usually do a good job of reaching out to people first, but I just kind of shows kind of the person he is to reach out to me first. The whole staff, I've been, you know, just going through the physical process. I saw a lot of the people, you know, Kevin Cash, you know, we've obviously touched base. And there's a lot of faces and names. I talked to Kiermaier. But there's a lot of faces and names that I don't know yet that I'm looking forward to getting in the clubhouse and developing that camaraderie. And I know we're still going to be a little limited with COVID, but a ton of excitement. And it's nice to be welcomed like that, because I'm super, super excited. Like I said, not playing last year, not being around the team was really, really hard for me. But hearing from the guys that they're equally as excited as I am, I can't be more ready to get to Port Charlotte than I've ever been in my life.
Big part of what you did here was not only on the field, but off. How hard has it been, or what have you been able to do with your foundation, and how important is it for you to kind of continue in that regard here?
Yeah, it's obviously been a lot tougher. My big thing off the field impact was the personal touch. Being able to to physically be in the presence of younger people and help encourage and inspire, not with baseball, but with anything in life. It's been tough, but I do have a few things in the works. They're not solid enough. They're not confirmed yet, but I do have some pretty cool things in the works that can be done virtually, but also have a great impact on children as well.
Well, it's great that you're thinking that way. As you get restarted here, we're excited to have you back. And we look forward to seeing you healthy and successful on the mound. One thing I was curious, Chris, have you thought of like what you hope to accomplish? I mean, you were always like a 200 innings guy and you went through a year where you didn't even pitch. What do you think in your mind physically is realistic for your body this year?
Well, I'm going to have to, in 2021, I'm going to have to manage those expectations. Everyone's expectations are going to be tempered this year because nobody threw more than 75 innings last year. So I think that helps me not be too focused on that 200 inning mark. I don't think anyone's really going to be focused on that. It might happen for a couple guys. It's not going to happen for anybody on the Rays. I know that for a fact. So, you know, outside of that, I'll as many starts as I possibly can. Does that involve maybe, you know, me getting some extra rest here and there? Maybe. I think that a lot of guys are going to get some extra rest just because the workload is different than it's ever been before.
I think that's well said. And most important, we look forward to seeing you back on the mound and competing in a Tampa Bay uniform. Welcome back.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Neil. I appreciate you having me, man.
Great to chat with Chris Archer. Certainly an enjoyable conversation. And you got the sense from Rays Executive Vice President and General Manager Eric Neander in his media Zoom that he certainly had a great deal of excitement about Chris Archer's attitude coming into this. Eric was asked a number of questions, including Chris's role, which you'll hear from in a moment. And then after that, I asked about what may be on the horizon.
In an ideal world, he takes the ball every fifth day, you know, and that's, you know, I think you all know enough about kind of where our budget is likely trending this year. And that's why we made the investment we did. But I will say in the conversations we've had, he's wide open to doing whatever he can help to win games. So he's made that very clear. That's not anything that we had to pull out of him. It was a matter of him saying, hey, look, if you need me to bulk, if you want to put someone in front of me, whatever can help this team win games, that's what I'm about, man. And just to get back there, to be with that group and just to be a part of a winning club is all that really matters to me right now. And, you know, it's that team first selfless nature that frankly, we're going to have from a lot of guys to get through this season. This is 162 after we were lucky enough to play 80 last year, you know, as a group, but this is going to be unprecedented. What disruptions, the double headers, who knows what we're truly going to be up against, and having flexibility with your group and having them aligned on that goal of winning and doing whatever it takes is going to be huge. And he's coming in with that, but it will be a, you know, once every fifth day is our plan in some capacity here.
Eric, on that end, how likely is it that knowing how different this season is going from 60 to 162, that you add additional bulk or starting pitchers between now and let's say the start of spring training games?
Yeah, we're still on the lookout for it. It's still something we feel is important. And, you know, you have to find the right players with the right motivations and incentives to make it all work. Because you really don't know exactly what, you know, we don't know exactly what we're going to be up against and how it's all going to fit together. I think we just recognize we need a lot more innings than, you know, this certainly helps, but we probably still need more innings, you know, to feel good about this thing and to make sure we're not asking too much of any one individual person. But we also don't know exactly what that looks like. And to have people that are interested in coming in here, you know, Walk Arch, these are guys that are motivated to use this season to really reestablish themselves, to get guys that are at that point in their career, but also want to be there to help the team win and have some flexibility in how they want to go about doing that is huge, you know, to make this thing go. And so we're going to continue to look out for that in free agency and also by trade as well.
Good stuff from Eric Neander. Of course, we have more on that on our blog, raysradio.mlblogs.com. I thought it really was important too, to chat, especially based on those comments with the Rays pitching coach, Kyle Snyder, who obviously is among the reasons that Chris Archer decided to return to Tampa Bay. He and the staff obviously will play a large role in trying to keep Chris healthy and allowing him to return to, again, what was one of the better pitchers that the Rays had during his tenure here from 2012 to 2018. So I asked Kyle Snyder what it meant to have Chris back on the staff.
First off, you know, just to have the opportunity to have Chris Archer back, you know, was something that we were all really intrigued by. And, you know, just the way the offseason is kind of unfolded, be it through the free agent market, you know, he was available. And, you know, we're really, really excited not just to have him back. I know the community is as well, you know, the role he's played here in the past. And just I think from his standpoint, coming back to a familiar place, it seemed like a really good marriage.
You are involved in some degree, I would assume, when the Rays are pursuing a pitcher. How many conversations did you have with Chris, and what were the conversations like?
Well, the first conversation, believe it or not, that I had with Chris was after we signed him. And then I got an opportunity to see him in person, and then we've since spoken three or four times since he's gotten back to California. And you know, we've had some really, really interesting conversations about, you know, some things that I think he's taken away from the last couple of years, you know, and also, you know, on his way back from, you know, the couple of injuries that he had last season. But, you know, a lot of the things that I think that he's begun to recognize about, like, just the way his body moves, you know, they kind of rang true to me, and some of the things that he and I discussed a little bit in 2018 prior to the trade. And, you know, we have full confidence that he's healthy. He's going to come in and, you know, we'll get him ready, you know, throughout all of spring training. And, you know, he and I are kind of working on, you know, putting what that looks like together right now. And that's been, you know, kind of the majority of the dialogue that we've had here in the last couple of times we've spoken.
You mentioned the confidence in his health. How difficult is thoracic outlet syndrome to come back from? And what are the greatest concerns in trying to keep him healthy for a full season?
Well, you know, I think we're going into a year, you know, that people have a lot more questions than answers as it relates to a lot of these things. You know, I mean, you could look at Chris and the lack of workload the last couple of years as a positive, and that's how I'm looking at it. Let's just finally get him healthy, and let's just kind of let 1 week or 1 month take us to the next. That's where just the depth of these relationships with these guys really matter most. Because in a year like this, you know, it's really going to be tough to rely on what we know about workload and what we don't. And so, you know, I'm confident that he's healthy. Just seeing, you know, a lot of the footage that I've seen, the conversations that we've had, and it's really just a matter of being, you know, particularly mindful just in spring training with a lot of these guys as we enter a full 162-game slate coming off of, you know, just that truncated 60-game season. And obviously with Chris, you know, having, you know, two issues that he had to get taken care of orthopedically. So, you know, but I have all the confidence just given what he's done in the past, the workloads that he's been able to carry, and really focusing on just, you know, just getting his body to move as efficiently as possible and prioritizing recovery. He's going to be back to the guy that was able to give us good quality innings and quite a few at that. So, really excited to see it.
How can a guy, and maybe Michael Wacha fits in the same boat, but a guy in a one-year contract be a benefit for you and the staff?
Well, I just think the motivation, the self-motivation that these guys are going to have, right? You know, it's still a business. You know, these guys are Tampa Bay Rays, and, you know, whether it's with us or somebody else, these guys have good years just given what they've accomplished in their career. You know, they're going to go on and make, you know, make good money. And you know, some of that motivation and a lot of it depends on what their whys are and et cetera. But they're really, you know, both these guys are focused, you know, on coming in and being healthy, you know, and maybe getting exposed to some things like Michael Wacha that he may not have been exposed to in the past that might help, you know, fine tune his approach and maybe understand a little bit more about his body, and those things are all going to play major roles in this season for both of those guys. But they both have a lot of runway left in their careers, and, you know, our goal is going to help, you know, be to help them optimize who they are and put them in positions to succeed and make sure we do our best to keep them healthy throughout the entire season.
And Kyle, you and the staff have been really good about doing that. How important, or how do you make sure from Stan, from the staff, that they aren't trying to replace Blake Snell and Charlie Morton, that they realize that they are just a piece of a 1,400 plus inning puzzle?
That's right. Well, and again, I think continuing to communicate that, you know, albeit ad nauseum through spring training. I know that's already been shared with Chris, you know, just because of who he's been for us in the past. And, you know, not trying to carry that, you know, that burden of replacing somebody, you know, or putting additional pressure unnecessarily on yourself. You just come in, be yourself, you know, and you know, just, you know, stay relaxed, work hard, and utilize the 6.5-7 weeks that we're going to have in spring training to really lay a baseline, you know, for the season. And I think that's what both those guys are going to do. I have all the confidence in the world.
I'm curious how much time you've spent on trying to just figure out the whole puzzle piece and how creative you think you're going to have to be this year as a group.
Well, I mean, fortunately, creativity is something that, you know, we've employed a decent amount here over the last couple of years. So I'm hoping that's going to better prepare us. In terms of how much time I've spent thinking about it, I don't know. I don't know that I stopped thinking about it, especially as close as we are to spring training. But I know we're going to have a lot of conversations, you know, throughout camp, throughout the year. You know, and it's going to be really important, obviously, to just the daily dialogue with the pitchers. And doing what we need to do, you know, just, you know, for the greater good of the entire staff, just taking on 162 game slate, you know, coming off of 60 games last year, and a lot of guys just throwing 60 or 70 innings. So, yeah, it is something that, you know, is going to be on my mind, into the forefront of my mind, you know, between now and really the end of the regular season, if not, you know, into October. But, you know, we'll be responsible about usage. There's probably going to be some tough decisions made throughout the course of the regular season. You know, I don't know if we shorten some of our traditional starters and make them openers to try to limit workload, you know, but there's certainly going to be a lot of things that we talk about that are going to be creative. They're going to put us in a best position to win, but also, you know, put us in the best position to keep, you know, the depth of our pitching staff healthy, you know, throughout the course of the whole season. So,
and we'll talk more about that, I would think, as this spring goes on. But I'm kind of curious, in your mind, at least initially, and it certainly can change as the year goes, but do you need 7 guys who can throw 150 innings? Do you need 9 guys who can throw 100 or more? Do you have in your mind what's the most you could see a guy conceivably throwing after coming off a 60 inning season?
Yeah, I don't know if I want to put hard fast numbers on it. 150, though, you know, is probably, you know, at least in the regular season in my mind, you know, Yarbrough has thrown 141, 143. You know, Waka's a couple of years removed, you know, from over 100. I mean, Glasnow's thrown 114 innings, the most he's thrown in the last 4 years, and that was the year we acquired him, and he spent a lot of that year in the bullpen in Pittsburgh. So, you know, I think that somewhere between, you know, that 7 and 9 number that you just raised, you know, of 150 to, you know, 2 other guys in the 1 to 125 range, you know, an inning total similar to maybe Beeks in 2019 for a couple of guys. You know, and that's, and again, it's like you said, I mean, I try to work backwards the best I can each year, knowing that that 1,450 number is going to be what we're really going to need to key in on. You know, but it could be anywhere throughout the industry from 10 guys at 100 innings and then, you know, leveraging the rest of the 450. It could be 6-man rotations where the math kind of works out, you know, works out. You know, or it could be piggyback scenarios. It could be any number of those things, you know, Neil, and all of which have crossed my mind. I would say in some fashion, a piggyback scenario, I would guess, would be employed, and then maybe shortening some of our traditional starters to openers and putting additional length behind them with bulk guys could be a potential as well. But putting the puzzle together is something you get too far ahead of yourself with. And, you know, these are things that we just, you know, constantly discuss as the season unfolds. And gather the information necessary to make the most responsible decision.
Well, well said. Congratulations on getting Chris Archer added to that puzzle, and hopefully some more in the future. Thanks for your time, Kyle.
No, I appreciate it, Neil. As always, thanks for having me on.
Really interesting stuff from Kyle Snyder, and certainly I'm sure we'll be chatting with him plenty during the course of spring training. And as things develop regarding the Rays' spring training and regular season plans, you can read about it on our blog, raysradio.mlblogs.com. And while report day and the first pitcher-catcher workout isn't until the 18th, well, on the 11th, we've got a show. Dave and Andy will be hosting, and it'll air on our flagship, and we'll make it a podcast too. And Kevin Cash is to be on the program, and I think Kevin Kiermaier as well. So you certainly will want to listen to that. In the meantime, we thank Chris Archer, we thank Kyle Snyder, and also Eric Neander. And thanks very much for listening, and we'll chat with you soon.